spent a few moments this morning, and so I have a simple thought. I'm not teaching anything out of our booklet. Now, you'll notice at the end of the booklet, there are some scripture passages in the book of Acts that refer to Peter, and I didn't have time to prepare those, and didn't know that I'd even get to them. But you can do that at home. That's your homework assignment, okay? I'm going to check on you next year when you come. Look up those passages and see what the Lord gives you about the life of Peter and the circumstances surrounding him. Praise God. At the camp rally, I had a little opportunity to say something some months ago. And I knew that the theme would be praise that was called to our attention. But the theme this year for camp is praise. We've been hearing a lot about that, reading in our morning devotions, wonderful things about praise. You know, we have to realize that praise is more than just saying thank you, Jesus, in the beginning of the meeting. And then when you're done thanking him for everything, let's move on to something else. Sometimes people feel that way. Well, I don't know, I thanked him for everything. But we realize that praise is much more than that. It's an operation of the Holy Spirit. It's where he comes to us. Praise brings us into his presence. Praise is a weapon. And as we praise the Lord, and he's enthroned upon those praises, and then he manifests his kingly authority over those things in our lives that we have no power over. Wonderful things that God does for us as we praise him, and our lives ought to be filled with praise. David said, I will praise him more and more. Is that what's happening in your life, or are you praising him less and less? Well, it ought to be more and more. Praise God. Forevermore, as a matter of fact. So may God help us to continue along these lines. Maybe in your church you can't praise the Lord like we do here at camp. That's not their custom. But you can get alone somewhere in your house and praise him. I used to work in King Cullen. That's a supermarket in New York. And nobody wanted to go out into the shopping cart and collect the shopping, out into the parking lot and collect the shopping carts. Plus, it was a lot of work. You had to make a train of these shopping carts and push them back into the store, and nobody seems to want to put their shopping carts in the designated area. But I used to volunteer because I knew that when I was out there, I could praise the Lord, and I needed to do that. And so I'd go out into the parking lot, and as I collected my carts, I'd praise the Lord, and turned out I was a pretty happy worker as a result. Praise God. So let's make opportunities to spend time with Jesus, to praise him, to fill our day with loving attention to our wonderful Savior. So anyway, at the camp rally, back to the camp rally, I got up and I wanted to give a quote, and I thought I had it in my phone. I thought I had taken a picture of it. And so as I'm sitting up on the platform, I'm scrolling. People probably wondering what I was doing. I was paying attention to Brother Phil and others, but I was looking for that quote. And I went through all my photographs. I felt like my whole life passed in front of me. I was reliving vacations and all these crazy... Well, anyway, I got up and I tried to quote it by memory. And then as I'm standing behind the pulpit, I get a text. And so I look at it, and it's James Walfoyle. He sent me the quote from the balcony, and, so I still have it here. And that's what I want to read to you this morning, okay? This quote has meant very much to me. It might not be new to any of you, but I found it in a book. Brother Gardner had given me the book Pilgrim's Progress, and he had a collection of those books, and he had a box, and he told me I can choose any one I want to. So I chose the one with the pictures, of course. But in the book, there was a piece of paper folded, and it had this quote in it, and it was written by a man named Samuel Brengel. There are some books in the boathouse, I knew at least one, on holiness. He was a son-in-law of the founder of the Salvation Army, from what I understand, and he was known to be a very godly man, loved the Lord with all his heart, pursued holiness, and he made this quote, and it's about praise. If God's people could look upon their greatest loss, We're going to break it up a little bit because what's your greatest loss that you've suffered in life thus far? Some people have suffered tremendous loss. Loss of children. Whatever it may be. Maybe their whole business went under. Everything they worked for. The house was burned up in a fire. If God's people could look upon their greatest loss as possibly their one and only supreme opportunity throughout eternity to prove their love and loyalty. If I could look at my greatest loss as this is my supreme opportunity to prove my love and loyalty to Jesus, and instead of repining and fainting and rebelling, would look up and rejoice and count it joy for his dear sake, how it would confuse the devil and astonish hell, rebuke unbelief, and fill the world with light. Wow, what a truth. What a quote. If I could, the idea is that when I get to heaven, there'll be no losses anymore. There'll be no more trials, no more pain. The things that we suffer and experience here in this life, that'll be a thing of the past. God has a big handkerchief and he's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. And not just wipe away the tear, but get down to the very root of the sorrow. But while we're here on earth, just as Jesus was, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we know something about sorrow and grief too. And usually the natural reaction to loss is to complain and to rebel and to become bitter and get depressed. And unfortunately, many people, they go in that direction. But he says, if God's people would look at this loss, this disappointment, this trial that I'm in, and remind themselves, when I get to heaven, I won't have any of these. But here's my chance to show Jesus how much I love him, and to be loyal to him, and to praise him. And if I could praise him now, what a wonderful thing that would be. And it says it would confuse the devil. I like that. Why not? Let's confuse him. He throws this thing at us. He thinks that it'll make us bitter toward God and cause us to go down into a dump. And instead we start praising God in spite of it. And then it says it would confuse the devil, astonish hell. All hell would take notice. It would rebuke unbelief and fill the world with light. Praise God. I'm reminded of that when little trials come my way. We ought to look at our trials as an opportunity to show Jesus how much we love him. We don't just love you because things are going well for us. We don't only love you when we're blessed. But now, I can really prove my love to you by praising you when things go wrong. And when I suffer loss, praise God. And if we would learn to do that, I like it says here, it would fill the world with light. You know, God's going to fill this world with his glory. The angels see it already. But how's he going to do that? He's going to do that through his people. It's not just going to be some light that shines down from heaven and fills the earth with light. It comes through his people. And as we get filled with light and keep our eyes on God and get filled with light, well, that light shines into every situation and every relationship, and Jesus is glorified. So I want you to remember that. If you need that quote, I knew they were going to put it in the devotional, but they ran out of room. So if you need that quote, give you James Waldfogel's phone number. No, I can get it to you. Praise God. Oh God, how wonderful. And so maybe you've been repining and complaining and still carrying a real burden because of certain things you've been through. It's not too late to turn it around and begin to praise God. Say, Lord, I'm going to look at this as an opportunity to show you that I love you for who you are and not for what I can get out of you. Beyond the gimmies, that was one of our lessons. Some people just wanted to follow Jesus for what they could get out of him. Give me, give me, give me. But then Jesus was looking for those that awakened to the wonder of who he was. And no matter what the trial was, they couldn't help but love him. We saw that in Peter too, didn't we? Lord, you know that I love you. And so he did. And he did something with that love, didn't he? So I didn't give you a Bible verse, and how can you have a devotion without a Bible verse? How about I will bless the Lord at all times, Psalm 34. All times, good times, bad times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Don't just keep the praises in your heart. God does, something happens when you open your mouth. Say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I've seen people in real trials, and you know what they've been through. Like our sister the other day, she was talking about the trial that she went through. And she didn't mention the details. I filled you in on some of that the other day, when she lost her daughter to cancer and so on. And she was in real darkness for a while. But God brought her out. And what a joy it was to see our sister praising God with all her heart and being such a blessing in the meeting. And she turned that thing around somehow. God enabled her. Okay, I suffered this great loss, but I'm going to praise you anyway. You'll make it, more than make it up to us when we get to heaven. Suffering of this present world, can it be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us? I thought I had a lot of questions I was going to ask the Lord one day when I get to heaven. It dawned on me, one, when I see Jesus, and what he's prepared for me, I don't think I'll, the Lord, when I stand before him, I say, I don't exactly remember what I wanted to ask you. All those things will melt away. Praise God. And so we are to live that way now by God's grace. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Let's sing, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And then we'll pray for those that are going home today and pray for those that are coming up today. You're welcome. Nice to see our brother Jason. Pastor Jason from California. We're getting more people from California here than New York, I think. Yeah. It's always great to see people coming from all over. We find that there are lovers of Jesus all over the country. Okay, so here we go. I don't know, sometimes I do this, it doesn't work. And I'm nervous because Jason plays the guitar and he knows when it's out of tune. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Ye
wash away each stain.
Yes, Lord. Praise God. Brother Hans Wolfogel said the Lord put a big bell inside his heart, and he could ring it anytime he wants to. So maybe God has put a bell in your heart since you've been at camp. Let God ring it. Praise Him more and more. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for all that You've done, Your faithfulness. And every day, Lord, You came to us. Every day You worked in us. And Lord, when we get back home, we're going to see and discover things that God did that we're not even aware of. Lord, You said You'd never leave us or forsake us, and that You go before us. So help us, Lord, as we heard, our first call is to be with You. God, we pray again. Help us to be more regular about spending time with You in Your word, in Your presence, in Your house. Lord, cover us all with Your precious blood as we travel home. Bless the children, and others traveling on the bus, and others going home in cars. Bless those that are on their way up, and we pray that You'll bless the retreat that's before our young people. Oh God, we can't thank You enough for mercy so great. What can we do but love You, serve You all with all that I have and all that I am, as long as our life shall endure. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a safe trip home. For those that are staying on, let's continue to seek Him together and encourage one another. Amen.